Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right, so first up, I'm still trying to get over the guy who was taking shelter from the last hurricane on a rooftop. That seems like a bad thing. Let's see. Ooh, no, don't want that one either. We're going to start with this guy who was arrested for stealing his daughter's truck. Who is this? He looks like a drunk Santa's brother. I don't know. Marion County man's facing felony charge. He stole his own kid's truck. Felony theft. Apparently, it was a motel parking lot, and I don't know. This guy's 44? That's the biggest thing. Okay, I need Kane. I don't care about anything else in the story. How in the hell is this guy 44 years old?
There is
no way this guy's 44.
Harsh 44.
For those of you not watching the simulcast, I mean, he looks like legit, like a drunk Santa.
He does.
Anyway, I am completely distracted now. I apologize. I cannot believe this guy's 44 years old. What in the world? So this guy, 44-year-old John Hamilton, he told the deputy that he admitted he took the truck and refused to bring it back. That's pretty much the glory of the story here. Court date hasn't been scheduled. The biggest thing was I needed to show you that mugshot because I cannot even believe that this guy is 44 years old. Also, this, a few others. A woman freaks out because her Domino's pizza was cold and uncut. Yeah, but I understand that you might be upset if you get a pizza delivery and it's cold and uncut. And then she decided that she was going to get arrested as a response. So smoking guns, this 22-year-old Ricky, just R-I-C-K-Y or R-I-C-K-I is fine. I don't need R-I-C-Q-U-I, okay? She drove from her residence to the restaurant where she started fighting with the employees. She flung the pizza and busted up their phone. Police arrived. She was arrested for misdemeanor criminal mischief. She spent the night in jail. And then she has to stay away from the Domino's pizza, which is only 1.4 miles away from her house. I mean, I'm sure there are probably better ways to resolve that issue. But, you know, if you wanted to go that far into it. But her name is R-I-C-Q-U-I. Ricky. I'm assuming that it's Ricky. Just, you know. Yeah. I'm assuming that that's what it is. Let's see here. Half of these I can't read. And then, of course, this froze. So, this... No, not reading that one. That one's a Diddy headline. I don't even know why a Diddy headline would make it in here, but okay. Oh, we got the guy in the lawnmower. No, this guy wrecked a $200,000 McLaren in Florida during a live stream after texting while driving in the rain. It's a YouTuber. I hate YouTube. I'm sorry. I'm so tired of the stuff, the YouTuber stuff.
Who was it?
Some guy I don't know. I don't want to say his name because I don't want people to think I'm familiar with his content. He was driving around in the rain, texting in the rain while driving a McLaren, and he wrecked it. $200,000 McLaren. $200,000 car that this turd wrecked. I have nothing. That's why you can't give. How old is this guy? I don't even know how old he is. Sorry, I'm dealing with everything's freezing. I don't even know who this guy is. What is he? He's 20 years old. Can we stop with internet stars? Wasn't he filming himself? He's filming himself.
He was on live stream.
And texting. Yep. And he's looking at his phone. And you can see that it's wet and it's stormy outside. And he wrecks it. $200,000 McLaren. Oh, he totaled it. Oh, it's so bad. The whole front end's crunched under the guardrail. I want to beat him to death. So, I don't know. And guess what? It was only for 185,000 people watching. That was the extent of his live stream. Each of them could donate a dollar and they still wouldn't be able to cover the cost of the car. Wow. Speaking of which, our good friends Kel-Tec, they're like right in the middle of this, by the way. They're having to really hunker down because they're in Florida. Florida-based company. And they make some of the coolest firearms that are out there. And one of those is the P-15. The P-15 is the lightest, thinnest 9mm on the market. Double stack magazine. And it has two versions, the metal and the polymer. The metal frame version has walnut panels on it. The polymer has that gator grip texture. You don't lose any stopping power, but you get, you know, just heightened concealability. And the magazines, again, one 15-round minimal pinky extension. The 12-round is a flush-fit double stack for extra concealability. Tritium fiber optic front sight, striker fire reliability, great trigger pull, lifetime warranty from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. So make sure you check out Kel-Tec. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at keltecweapons.com. That's KELTECweapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you. But I don't know if, I mean, she's dealing with some bad stuff right now. Can we talk about the 60 Minutes interview? It's bad. It's so bad. They asked her if she owned a gun. And it was weird. They asked her if she owned a gun. And, well, this is what she says. This is audio soundbite 7. Listen to this.
A hard left turn here, but... You recently surprised people when you said that you are a gun owner. And then if someone came into your
house...
That
was not the first time I've talked about it. That's not the first time I've talked about it.
So what kind of gun do you own, and when and why did you get it?
I have a Glock, and I've had it for quite some time. And, I mean, look, Bill, my background is in law enforcement.
Which means nothing.
And so there you go.
Have you ever fired it?
Yes. Of course I have. At a shooting range.
So
yes,
he does. I was watching this interview. Bill Whitaker's interview style is interesting. I'm giving him credit. This is what it looks like when you do your job. He asks a question and then he just lets it sit and he doesn't do anything else. He lets it sit. And then the silence makes her nervous and she freaks out and she's got to fill the time with words. That's a great, like, it's an actual technique. And he does it very well. And he looks down at his notes and then looks back up and smiles. He disengages eye contact to leave her hanging for a moment. It is the art of bodily persuasion. And then he looks up at her and she's already freaking out because he disengaged to look at his notes. And then he just purses his lips and kind of smiles at her. Very disingenuous. It's a process smile. It's not like a real smile of, you know, empathetic or emphatic feeling. It is a very interesting interview. And they're totally going to go after this guy. But because I don't think he's on the right. I think he dislikes her. I think he's just done with it. Let's, you know, ask some questions. But she's like, well, you know, I was in law enforcement. Like, what, you were storming houses? The hell does that mean? No one believes that Kamala Harris was out there. Yes, I was in law enforcement. So of course I have a gun. I was out there storming houses and arresting baddies. That's what I was doing. No one believes that. I mean, in that event, I'd be like, well, it'd be a SIG, wouldn't it? Anyway, but she's like, I have a Glock. If Bill Whitaker would have said, what generation, she would have crumpled in on herself and fallen off the chair. Really, what gen? A Glock? Mm-hmm. What? So what generation, though? And just check your notes and look up. And then when he goes, have you fired it? And then he just looked at her and would not help her out. And she was incredulous. And then she's like, yeah, I fired it. at a range. Meh. Had to fill the space. She would have kept going. I think she would have kept going if he wouldn't have asked her another question. So awkward. No one believes that she's got a gun. I think that she came up with that because she partners with a gun control group that's actually suing Glock. And I think that that was like the first thing that popped into her head. And that's why she said it. Yes, I have a Glock. No, you don't. No one believes that you have a Glock. Literally nobody. Just nobody. Man, these are so bad. I don't even know what one I want to go to next. It's so bad. Tim Walz didn't do any better. He didn't really do any better. Audio soundbite 18. I mean, this Bill Whitaker just took both of these stooges to the woodshed. This is so bad.
In your debate with J.D. Vance, you said, I'm a knucklehead at times. And I think you were referring to the time that you said that you were in Hong Kong during the Tiananmen Square unrest when you were not.
Yeah.
Is that kind of misrepresentation, isn't that more than just being a knucklehead?
I think folks know who I am, and I think they know the difference between someone expressing emotion, telling a story, getting a date wrong rather than a pathological liar like Donald Trump.
But I think it comes down to the question of whether whether you can be trusted to tell the truth.
Yeah, well, I can. I think I can. I will own up to being a knucklehead at times, but the folks closest to me know that I keep my word.
But nobody else does, because you don't. I mean, he was not, Whitaker was not letting him go one bit, was not letting him go. Gosh, it's really satisfying to watch. I think I'm just going to keep playing these for the rest until election day, these clips. It was bad. It was bad. And it just was so bad. It was so bad. And he sat down separately, Walz and Harris. The cuts keep coming. And in the meantime, audio soundbite 12, she can't explain her way out of anything. Whitaker goes, well, groceries are more expensive and everyone blames you. What do you say?
Groceries are 25% higher and people are blaming you and Joe Biden for that. Are they wrong?
We now have historic low unemployment in America among all groups of people. We now have an economy that is thriving by all macroeconomic measures. And to your point, prices are still too high. And I know that, and we need to deal with it, which is why part of my plan, you mentioned groceries, part of my plan is what we must do to bring down the price of groceries.
Yeah. Well, how are you going to bring down the price of groceries? I mean, why can't you do it now? Because you're there. It's almost like, I mean, she sits here and she says, well, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Why aren't you doing it now? You're the vice president of the United States. The hyphen counts. You're there now. Why don't you? It was bad. So she's going off of the tantrum about the hurricane. That's what she used to follow up her 60 Minutes interview, and the cuts are still coming. And then the 60 Minutes interview followed that Daddy Issues podcast. That was bad. And then now she's apparently going on with Stern. Has her stuff from The View even hit yet? Because she taped The View. Has that even hit yet?
Oh, yeah. What
did it hit?
Yeah.
I literally never watch those cronies. I just don't. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. I didn't watch it because we can count on Steve doing it. Steve getting it. So this, oh boy, audio soundbite 27. You heard that answer she just gave on groceries and all that. Remember who's in the White House, right? Remember who's in Biden-Harris. Okay, now play audio soundbite 27. This is so bad.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
So nothing. Oh, well, that's comforting. So forward the same? I wouldn't change anything. Forward. That's what I would have asked. So forward then.
Nothing comes to mind.
I still know. Don't know what I do different. Merk, 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 knucklehead.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so a couple of things here. Osama bin Laden's son was banned from reentering France. He looks like a gun control advocate, I gotta say. He just does. I didn't even know he was around. But yeah, he was glorifying terrorism, so he was banned. Are you surprised? Is anybody surprised the goat doesn't fall far from? Never mind. Let's see. The Gen Z can't cope with life or hold down a job, and they blame lazy Gen X parenting for their failures. I think Gen Z needs its ass beat. Just saying it. Gen X, no. A lot of them are actually from baby boomers, like baby boomers, like the bad ones, not the good ones. But they said that they can't cope with life, and it's because they were raised by Gen X. And I just think it's because you have crappy parents, and you're probably horrible people, and you shouldn't blame an entire generation for it. It's, you know, there you go. Google's new AI is going to turn anything into a podcast. Yay, let's all put razors in our ears. Yeah, that's how books and podcasts. Yay, Google. Someone isolated Perry Farrell's vocals from the night of the Jane's addiction fight, and it's bad. Do we have it or no?
No, we don't have any audio.
Oh, okay. Well, it's bad then. You can only imagine.
It's definitely bad.
A hideous 70s interior trend is making a surprise comeback in homes. Oh, boy. I think this is millennials. Wild sage, lemon peach, sorbet, mint, and avocado are becoming popular colors inside of home decor amongst that cohort, younger millennials and Gen Zers. They're taking you back to avocado green. Oh my gosh. They say the retro shades, it looks dingy and nasty is what it looks like. If you're trying to make it a thing, I hope that you have to spend an ungodly amount of money in 10 years just to redo your bathroom, because you deserve it. You deserve the financial penalty.
For people that lived in the 70s, they know that carpet was that color, like toilets were that color.
Everything was that color. It was horrible. I mean, I only, because I was grew up poor, so I just, we couldn't afford to redo our house. So in the 80s, that's what our house looked like. That's what it looked like. First house I ever had that I got as a young adult. That's what it looked like. So, yeah, just saying. That is pretty hideous. It is. Fashion designers are embracing a hideous new shoe trend. It's sturdy shoes are making a comeback. First off, I hate kitten heels. Kitten heels are flats from women who can't commit to higher heels because they either can't walk in them or they don't have enough calf muscles. Make the commitment. Kitten heels are stupid, and when I see them, I want to stomp them off. Just saying. So they said that sturdy shoes are making a comeback. What does that mean? It means platform everything, so everyone can clomp around looking like a Clydesdale. That's what it looks like. You look like a Clydesdale. Women are not supposed to have brick feet. They're not supposed to have giant feet where you look like space marines walking around. You're not supposed to have that. Like, you're supposed to have dainty ankles, and you're supposed to, you know, look like humans, not like Clydesdales. Just saying. I am reacting horribly to this article that I just came about at a tech website, which is called Under Consumption Core. We're in a broke economic period, and now people are trying to say that it's because of late stage capitalism. And so now we're at Under Consumption Core. And if you ask them to identify it in a proper journalistic context, wherein the lead is immediately put up front in the first graph, well, they can't. They have to later on in the article say, under consumption core is framed as the antidote to overconsumption. I read articles like this, and it makes me want to be such a maximalist that I want to consume everything. I have such a reaction to this kind of stuff. Like, tiny houses make me want to be a maximalist. All white everything makes me want to vomit color. Oh, I can't stand it. They want you to live in boxes and have shiplap everywhere and be poor and eat bugs. That's what they want. That's the truth of it. Let's just be honest. And a woman was hospitalized after a cauliflower falls on her head in a British store. And the supermarket apparently had an insulting response to her. She apparently had a severe headache, nausea, and dizziness. Sounds like concussion. But she said that she slammed the supermarket. They gave her a 25-pound voucher and some taxi fare. And she said that was insulting. How does a cauliflower fall on your head? Like, what are you doing that a cauliflower falls on your head in the store? Like, stop. Just stop it. Well, now, there's a hair-raising, eyebrow-raising news story that just hit. I mean, it is October. Welcome back, Dana Lash with you. It is October. Would you guys like to hear about it? It's about wife guy's second dude.
That sounds right.
Second dude. Second dude? Second dude.
Second.
Yeah.
Second dude, yeah.
Yeah. Doug Emhoff. He's really leaning into this whole, no, I'm just the husband of the vice president. She's the more power. I think he's doing that as like a veneer to hide like his past indiscretions because, ooh, here's a headline. Quote, Doug Emhoff was a foul-mouthed a**hole and misogynist who hired a trophy secretary because she was pretty and retaliated against women who didn't flirt back at L.A. law firm. Ex-staff, plural, claim. Believe all women, right? Isn't that where we're at now? Me too. Attorneys who worked with Doug Emhoff at his former firm Venable say he yelled expletives, held a men-only cocktail hour in the office, revoked work perks from women who didn't flirt with him, and only took young, attractive associates in a limousine to a ball. I thought this was America. The lawsuit also claims sex discrimination by other partners while he was engaged to Harris. And he hired an unqualified part-time model as a legal secretary because she was friendly with the powerful men in the office, is the claim. He looks like the guy who does that. He's trying to have like his Taiki Waititi moment, and he's just not happening. He looks like the guy who would do something like that, doesn't he? Can I just say, sidebar, this is why I don't understand like sugar babies. The looks got to play into it. You know, money can't make that visage more attractive. I just could not. There's no way on God's green earth. There's just no way. What woman, you're going to hire a model to be a legal secretary because she's pretty and she flirts with the ugly, powerful men in the office? I mean, they're still ugly, right? Looks is power. They're still ugly. I look at him and I'm like, that's not a, ew. just right. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only, I don't know. I just, no, money cannot buy everything. So he's, now he acts like he's this feminist ally and a wife guy. Have you noticed that all the dudes who say that they're feminists are typically like abusive jack wagons? Have you noticed this? That all comes out. Like they all get milkshake ducked by like past posts. You guys know that term? I think I explained it in one of my books. It was a joke that somebody made. Oh, here's a little duck that loves drinking milkshakes. 5 seconds later, we regret to inform you that the duck is racist. So it's a milkshake duck. Like you find something in their past that you thought they were nice and you thought they were cute. It's like I'm waiting for Mudang to get milkshake ducked. The little pygmy hippo in Thailand, which I watch all the time. And that's all any of the algorithms show me is Mudang stuff. It's okay. But he looks like the guy who's, doesn't he? He has that smarmy look. Okay. Another sidebar. Women, you know, when you look at a chick, if she's crazy, women have a radar. Dudes, do you have a radar that is equal to that of a woman looking at a chick and saying, that woman's crazy, warning? Dudes, can you do the same thing by looking at another dude and be like, he's nuts, warning? Do you have that superpower, Kane?
Well, yeah, you can see it in women. I don't know how
but
women
in dudes,
see
can
it
you look
men?
At another dude yeah. and be like Doug Emhoff and be like, yeah, he looks
oh, can
like
a guy spout
yeah, can
spot
you
that?
See it yes. in another guy? Yes. Steve, can you see it in another guy?
I mean, men are better gaslighters, I think, so probably not. They kind of hide it.
Interesting.
No, you can kind of tell.
Depends.
There's posturing, there's eye contact, there's breathing, all of that stuff. That body language, it's subtle, but you can tell.
Don't you think that in his interviews, Doug Emhoff tries to act like he's, again, he's like, well, I'm a wife guy. I'm just a wife guy. Right? Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who, he cheated on his first wife, impregnated his nanny. And now we've got these accusations. And it just, he slapped that girl in the line at the valet at Cannes Film Festival, which is like the bougiest thing I've ever heard. So I don't know. I mean, all of the false accusations that had no evidence against Kavanaugh were enough to almost like derail his Supreme Court advances. And Kamala Harris led that. So what about this? I just feel... Yes, I do completely believe in James, the ideology of James Brown in the big payback. Yes, I absolutely do. You are 1,000% correct. So I'm just saying, you know, it just seems like, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander here, Kamala. Just saying.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.